It's Thursday, June 12th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 66, Round 2, What Happened to Round 1? Fight! Runtime for this episode is 42 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games 2, Turbo. My name is Jeremy.
Shinku Shoryuken. That's a thing, right? Vacuum Shoryuken. Oh man, vacuum. Why isn't that a move? Get on that can. Anyway, I'm Tyler.
Hadouken!
And I'm Zach.
Shoryuken!
We played Street Fighter 2 today. And I have worse impressions of it than I did before, but it's still a good game.
Disagree.
But before we get to that...
Downvote.
What have you been playing, Negative Nancy?
Okay, go ahead. Nancy?
I was just going to speak for you.
All right, then Nancy, what have I been playing?
Zach's been playing League of Legends and is only 3 wins behind you, apparently.
Yes.
According to him, he's not a very reliable source.
League says I am. And
well,
I'm higher rated and ranked than you are.
That's true. I can't deny that.
And I was actually playing a little bit of FTL on Monday because I had the day off.
Are you having any less problem with the boss after all the sage wisdom
Actually, I basically just said, screw it. I'm going to get the third Taurus Cruiser.
Yeah, that was my goal until I got the third Taurus Cruiser.
I actually did it the first time I actually just buckled down and said, screw it, I'm going for the third Taurus Cruiser.
I got the first time or the second, I can't remember.
And then on the that very same playthrough, I got the Stealth Cruiser, which I really don't like.
Yeah, the Stealth Cruiser is really swingy for me. I either get to the boss, no problem, and very nearly win, and just do one stupid mistake and cry, or I get destroyed in the first zone because where am shields? Me, I'm dead.
I just jumped into an asteroid field. That's what keeps happening to me. I jump into an asteroid field and all my systems get destroyed.
I thought you could detect those ahead of time with the stealth cruiser.
Yeah, stealth cruiser starts with long range sensors, so you can detect them one sector ahead. They have like
the asteroid fields.
Yeah, they have like an orange circle around them.
Yeah,
oh,
it gives
do
you.
They?
Yeah, same with like pulsars and the stars. You can tell when they're coming up.
Oh, I thought it only told
that's
you
that's the
about
only
the
reason
ships.
You can survive in that one. So, yeah, also ships. It also tell you that there are ships in the next sector. But if there are ships and an orange circle, then it's dangerous, yo. It usually tells you what the hazard is.
I still prefer the Red Tail.
Yeah, it's a good ship, and I like it more, too.
The base stealth cruiser is actually my favorite for a long time, until I discovered that defense drones don't do anything against missiles, so...
It seems odd that you can use your stealth and your weapons still charge, but when somebody else's stealth, your weapons don't charge.
That's because I can't lock on, and the computer system's like, well, you can't charge your weapons unless you're locking on, man. That's rude. So,
except for the fact that they charge when there's nothing there.
Yeah, well, details.
You're locking on to that convenient asteroid nearby. Tyler, I asked Jeremy about this. Have you ever gotten virus?
No, I don't think I have. I've seen the event that I think would give me a crewman named Virus. Is he an NG?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you get him?
What I've discovered a few times is you have to get a quest from an NG. Well, I don't think it's labeled a quest, but you jump in and says, you know...
Your ship has a virus?
No, there's a thing where you can send an NG crew member to go talk to these NG who are trying to find a virus, and he gets destroyed. The NG you send with... And you have to win the fight against the NG cruiser. And every time I've won the fight against the NG cruiser that has that happen on it, you get Virus, a crewman that has yellow stats and everything.
Oh. Yeah, I've never had that happen. I've had that exact scenario, but...
Where your crewman is dissolved by something,
yeah,
the virus has struck again.
Yeah, your NG crewman dies because the virus that they're looking for kills him. Yeah, no, I've never had that happen, although that's cool.
Yeah, I've had that happen every time I've seen that event. I was just curious if you'd seen it, because Jeremy said he hadn't.
I've seen the event, and now that you say that, it makes perfect sense that you could get something from it, but there's one where if you have a human crewman in an NG colony, the NG have adopted a mantis, and they're like, syntax error, mantis thinks he's human,
yeah.
What do?
I've gotten that one a few times.
But if you send a human, they give you a mantis who's really good at piloting, and I think Shields, whose name is Jones. I had the same event happen twice in the same run, so I had two mantis named Jones.
It's Smith.
I've had
that happen too, where I got two Smith, 2X Smith.
I haven't had that happen, but the names are fairly limited just by the ones they give you, because I've had one where I had like a rock guy named like Gerald, and then a mantis named like Gerald, and then a human named Gerald or something. So I'm like, that'd be really awkward. Hey, Gerald, get up here.
I only wanted one of you.
And suddenly a bug head pops up and...
Like, no, not you. That's... No, not you, human. Damn it, where's the rock guy? He's in the place where the PA speakers don't work.
I love the Mantis. Or alternatively, he walks half as fast as everyone else, so he's still taking his sweet time getting there. So
that is true.
But I really like the Mantis, especially for boarding parties. In order to get the Mantis Cruiser, you have to encounter, like, Catharsal Flap or something like that, with an upgraded med bay and a teleporter. And then if you beat him in hand-to-hand combat, you can teleport him to your ship, and he gives you his ship. And that's how you unlock the Mantis Cruiser.
I discovered a weird tactic at one point. I'm like, mind control this guy. Wait a minute. It says I can teleport him back to my ship.
You can.
I'm going to steal this crewman.
Unfortunately,
and then kill him on board my ship.
You can't really, because he, like, starts helping out around your ship, so you can't, like, just put him in a room where, because you can't choose what the mind control guys do. They just do
no,
stuff.
No, but I had my normal boarding party following him around.
Oh, and waiting for him
and
to become
unmind. And then as soon as he went unmind controlled, they killed him.
That was my one complaint, and I think it might exist due to a balance thing, or maybe they just ran out of buttons, is that you, like, the things that are on timers, you can't cut them early. Like, I really want to be able to do that with cloaking. But you have to wait until cloaking runs out all the way for it to turn off. That's a mild nitpick.
Most of the things that I've experienced that have timers on them, I want them to keep going until the timer runs out.
Well, sometimes, like, I want my cloaking to run out a bit earlier against the boss so that I can time it in the waves of its special attack. But
I've not gotten to the boss with cloaking active or available, so I wouldn't know.
It's really useful. You can both cloak at the same time, and then you're both sitting there not charging weapons. It's really exciting.
You sit there glaring at one another.
I
know you're there.
Yeah, so you sit there glaring at the space where the other ship used to occupy.
I haven't been playing any FTL, but Friday night, my brother and his friends were like, you want to play this sweet game called Artemis? And I was like, hells yeah, I do.
Oh, had they never heard of it before?
They had played it, but they didn't know I would.
Okay.
Was familiar with it.
They didn't know that you know how to launch missiles?
Yeah, I got to play weapons and science.
Awesome. That's one of my favorite positions. Although the dupe drop, man, that was an excellent three-man
crew.
That was
so good.
Artemis, for those of you who don't know, is a starship bridge simulator kind of...
Each so those who haven't listened to previous episodes when you guys were talking about this?
I don't know that we
definitely did.
Okay, well, anyway.
But yeah, we might have new listeners. I have hope. Hi, newbies. Read my sweet Super Sentai vs. Power Rangers articles that may or may not be on the website. They are totes funny.
Moral of the story is Ed, Alex, and I formed a faction of our own and commanded the Dupe alongside the Potato, I think was our flagship.
Yeah, the Dupe was a scout ship who would warp into enemy territory, lay up like the middle of the enemy fleet, lay a bunch of mines, and then warp out.
It was excellent.
That sounds like Carl's strategy in Firestorm.
Basically, we had move really fast drive as opposed to the instantaneous teleportation drive, and we just have Ed say, okay, Ed, a little left, good. Full speed ahead! And then as we went by, Alex was like, okay, correct to the left a little bit, Okay, drop mines. And then I just dropped 10 mines in one spot. And then we just fly through them. And then all the enemies would be like, oh, hey, those are not... Oh, God!
Were they labeled with seagulls from Finding Nemo? Mine? That was a funny joke. See, I can make crappy jokes, too.
I feel like they could have been better presented. But, like, were they shaped like seagulls? Like... I don't know, just label
it. I think just labeling it would have been good. I got it.
Okay.
I appreciated it, Riley.
Riley.
Riley is my friend who appreciates jokes.
Did you enjoy your Artemis time with your brother?
I did. We only did two missions, and they were on pretty low difficulty before his friends had to leave. But he wanted to do some more. I would really like to like set up two ships in two different rooms and have like the comms officer talking to the other comms officer of the other ship.
And you said it's on mobile now, right?
Yeah, it's on iOS and Android.
That seems like it's almost worth buying, if only because setting it up on a desktop environment proved to be kind of a pain in the ass. It's mostly that you have to set up port forwarding, which I guess isn't that bad, but...
I figure I'll probably pick it up for my iPad if you guys ever want to do that again.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet, especially if the mobile devices can communicate with the non-mobile
devices.
Oh,
they can.
Okay, I kind of figured.
You have to have a desktop running it.
Okay, so the desktop still has to be the home server?
Yeah, or a laptop, obviously, but... You still need a computer to be a server.
Okay.
For everything to connect to. Other than that, I've just been playing League. I broke a 13-game losing streak right before you came over.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Yeah, so bad. I got so many bad teams and so many bad me's. That's the only common factor in those 13 losses.
Did you end up with a game where you end up on top lane 0-1-0?
No, I don't think so.
I happened to end up with that on a loss.
I never actually played top in that losing streak. I played a lot of jungle, some AD carry, and some support, and one game mid.
Who'd you play mid?
Lulu. I'm a scrub. I can only play Lulu.
See, I use Ziggs.
Zig's pretty good.
Or Zed. Or yeah, so that bottom chunk of the alphabet.
I was considering Zed, actually.
Well, if your opponent's smart and they use exhaust.
Yeah, I was slightly afraid of that and slightly afraid of the matchup, which I can't remember now, but LeBlanc, maybe.
Or Ziggs.
I would pick Zed into Ziggs. But Zed can kill him, and he goes, plop, I am dead.
Is that actually the noise he makes when he dies?
Like
because that would be awesome.
It's more of like a sort of like a blood vessel bursting sort of plop. Zed is a ninja who marks people for death, and then 3 seconds later, they take all the damage they took up through those 3 seconds again.
You
a very nice plop.
Games.
Well, by saw you play him, you mean we were in a match together, and I was struggling.
Yeah, I showed up, killed somebody, and then left again without saying a word.
It's very
ninja-like. On Skype.
That's all I've been up to. What about you, positive Penelope?
Well, I got lost on a mountain of meatballs. No. So I haven't had a whole lot of time to play games this week because I went to California to visit my parents, and there is no internet in the land of Northern California.
None at all?
What?
Yeah, actually surprisingly little. Especially where we were, we kind of went up to the coast and there aren't, like, houses there, so.
How did you survive?
It was hard times. Actually, my parents' Wi-Fi is pretty awful, too, and I'm like, why is your Wi-Fi so bad? And they're like, well, sucks. Just like that. No, they have 1.5 megabit per second upload, or download speed. Just imagine that. That's almost as...
I've seen my computer do that on my old router.
That's only 3 times as fast as dial-up.
Only 3 times as fast as what we had when we were children's.
Yep. My home internet is like 15 megabits, so... But while I was out there, Alex forced me to play the first episode of Layden Brothers.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I'm definitely going to play the rest of it, so it's pretty fun. I also played a lot of Miracle Mask, because that's my current mobile game that I'm playing, so yay puzzles.
Have you finished that before?
No.
Okay.
Alex has it. This is the first one I think Alex has beaten before me.
Okay, but maybe that's what I was thinking of.
On a random side note, I found out that airports are the place to get street pass tags, so...
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're surprised?
Well, you know, details.
Also McDonald's.
Also apparently McDonald's. I got, like, 19 from walking through DIA on our trip back.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have everybody going on outbound flights. You just got to get a little bit close enough to one of the people who happens to have a 3DS or a DS in their bag.
Indeed. One of them was actually one of the businessmen who was sitting next to me on a plane, too. So
nice.
That was kind of neat. From, I don't even know where he was. He was speaking some language I did not recognize, but he appeared Southeast Asian of some sort. So,
did you give him a high five?
Well, no, I didn't realize until after I got off the plane. So.
Ah.
So that was cool. I got 19 street pass tags in a row and only managed to get 5 male me's in one tag as an achievement or something to that effect.
Yeah, 5 female is a bitch.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You have to go to a con.
Thanks, Nintendo.
It's apparently super easy in Japan.
Oh.
Well, it's because there's like 500,000 people within range of your 3DS any given moment.
Yeah, but I took them all in with Sweet Adventure to save me.
Yay.
Again. So... Then they all died, and I got all the new puzzle pieces, which is like a game, but not really. Then I played some more Monokemia and some FTL, because I always play FTL. I was in the middle of a game, apparently, in the last sector, and I booted it up, and I'm like, man, this is an awesome ship. Where am I? I'm like, oh, there's the boss right over there. Maybe I should go fight him. So,
yeah, overrated.
But then I didn't actually get to go to the boss, but I feel like I have a good chance with this ship. It's got all the drones and... like 3 ion cannons, 1 heavy laser.
I'd still like that game to be just a wander around... and find stuff type of game rather than...
You might actually enjoy gratuitous space battles.
That sounds like fun. Is that a movie?
No, it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure where you're like, you go to random sectors, kind of like FTL, except like there are events there and like they send you on quests to like go find places and there's a little bit more exploration. But the battle is you have a fleet of ships that you simultaneously fight with each other on a 3D environment. And you set up all your ship's movement ahead of time, and then click go, and both you and your opponent go for like 5 seconds, and then you give orders to do the next round. It's an interesting system, although it's really hard to wrap your head around.
That sounds very interesting.
It's a fun game. It's not really my cup of tea, but I could definitely see how someone would get really into it.
Well, blind movement's actually a very interesting mechanic if you've played any games that utilize it.
Speaking of blind movement... Guess who found his copy of Diplomacy?
Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know he had been resurrected again. We should really
play with Abraham Lincoln.
No, Abraham Lincoln's been dead for years.
The vampires got him.
Unless you believe Invincible, in which case Abraham Lincoln is actually the immortal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so why didn't I go with that joke? That one's so much better. He's just hanging out with Duplicate.
But anyway.
We have a date with Street Fighter 2.
We do.
We did, actually. We already did it.
And it was sad. Although I did win every match I played, so yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah, well, I'm not very good at Street Fighter 2, turns out.
As a random segue, did you see the one match Dan played with me in Capcom vs. SNK2?
Yeah, where he just schooled you 10 ways to Sunday.
I got destroyed. It was so bad.
He beat you like Act 2 of an anime.
The second match where he played not his main character was a bit more balanced, but oh man. I know I'm not that good, and he even thinks he's not as good as the people who play online, so...
He's probably not as good as the people who play online.
Ben, have you played Street Fighter 4 online? It is brutal. Those guys are... How do they... Oh, man. Anyway, Street Fighter 2.
So, let's start with other fighting games, because we've already talking about those. My introduction to fighting games was Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
They were gonna... really? That was your first one?
In an arcade. I put in some quarters. Man. I went over to some Mega Mans, because Mega Man was awesome. And then I went over to some Spider-Mans, because you gotta have Spider-Man.
Gambit
and then I went over to Guy and Gi because he could Dragon Ball Z blast people. And
could.
I wanted that in my life. It was pretty great.
Man, that would be an excellent first introduction to 2D fighters. I think my first one was actually Street Fighter 2 Turbo. That's one of my friends sent it, or it might have been Alpha 2. Man, I played the hell out of that game, but I don't know. It had Blanka in it, so that's all I remember. Oh, no, actually, no, I played Street Fighter 2 Turbo on an arcade. That was my first introduction to fighting games, but I didn't know how to do any special moves.
They're even on the arcade cabinet for two.
Were they?
Yeah.
I totally didn't notice that ever.
Like, all around the big screen are, like, the characters and then, like, the different movements.
No, the way I learned how to Hadouken was I watched one of the, like, you know, the attract animation.
Yeah.
Where it, like, shows random people having fights of some sort. But I watched some kid play it before me. I'm like, oh, that's how you do it. And then I Hadouken'd the everything. And then lost anyway, because it's an arcade game.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 had an easy mode, where if you just mash buttons fast enough, it would do your super combos for you. Which is pretty great for 8-year-old me. What was your first fighting game, Zach?
I've actually mentioned it on the podcast before. It was VR Troopers on the Genesis.
Oh, God, I remember VR Troopers.
The XYZ buttons on the Genesis controller did your special moves.
Well, that's actually kind of neat. I don't think I've ever seen VR Troopers.
It was like Power Rangers.
Okay.
It was a Japanese show that they added American high school footage to. The original plan was to have Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, be the main character. But then they realized he was a gold mine if they kept him on Power Rangers and they hired some other scrub. It was very Digimon-like in plot, where there was this digital world with robots and bad guys and Sentai footage.
Which is why they were VR Ranger and Sentai. There was Sentai footage in here.
Beetleborgs is my favorite non-Power Ranger Sentai footage show, though.
Yeah, and then I know I played a little bit of Street Fighter, actually, because I remember Blanka.
Out of curiosity, what is the original Street Fighter? I don't think I've ever seen it.
It was an arcade game. You played as Ryu. It had a single button. And the harder you punched it, was dependent on what move you did. So if you gave it a light tap, you'd do a light punch. If you punched it medium, you'd do a medium punch. And if you pounded the hell out of it, you got a heavy punch. There's a reason that game didn't endure.
That explains so much about later controls. That's actually one thing that I like a lot about Marvel vs. Capcom, or the newest one, is that they got rid of like light, heavy, and medium punch and kick.
Yeah, you just have light, medium, and heavy.
And I can totally see where the control scheme for punch and kick combination came from based on that. Although I think SNK came out with a fighter before Street Fighter 2.
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. Although, I feel like part of the SNK fall was Capcom suing them for copying Street Fighter, though.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure on that. I'm talking out of my ass, but I feel like that's the story. So anyway, we played Street Fighter 2, specifically Turbo and Super Turbo.
Which are... Oh, man, if you've ever played the original, it moves at, like, half speed compared to Turbo. It is so painful to play.
Well, the version we played actually lets you set the speeds separate from the version you're playing.
Okay.
But
it's still painful to play.
It's less painful because at least it's over fast.
This is sort of the granddaddy of 2D fighters. What surprised you going back and playing it?
Surprised me?
Yeah, what did you not expect about this game?
The health bars were really low compared to what I'm used to.
That's what I would say. You take a lot of damage when you get punched in the face. It's like the opposite of Soul Calibur.
And the throws do almost as much damage as they do in Soul Calibur.
Well, yeah, but so does everything else.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And the specials don't really do much more damage than just punching someone in the face. And I don't really feel that any of the non-heavy punches are really all that useful other than for interrupting your opponent's attack.
They're good for combos. We weren't good enough to know combos since we only played it for a couple hours.
That's possible.
But you can get a hit in and then chain 3 or 4 light hits in and then into a heavy.
Okay.
For extra damage.
So I can usually chain like 2 lights and then a heavy, but it didn't really seem to work that way. Maybe I don't know how to cancel in this game. That's actually something that this game was known for, was canceling. It was actually a bug in the original code where you could accidentally cancel out of a move into a super or into a special move that they were going to take out in later versions, but it became such an integral part in the competitive scene that they kept it in all subsequent games.
Yeah, and it's much better, I think, in later games. Like in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I can really use that. It's a lot harder in this one, I felt.
It does that?
Yeah, you can cancel any regular attack into a special attack. And you can cancel any special into a, you know, a hyper.
Super,
so if you're Deadpool going bang, 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 and something bad is happening, you can cancel into bang, 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 bang.
It's really hard to do. Around.
I don't find it hard to do at all.
But I don't think I've ever.
I've probably done it once or twice without trying, without doing any of that stuff. But
I use it a lot for the 3-stage moves that have invincibility frames. I will cancel out of stuff into those a lot.
That's another thing that really surprised me, is how long the invincibility frame of the Shoryuken is in this. Well, it's slightly longer in Ryu, I noticed.
Yeah, I feel like that's why frames get counted, is because it was actually pretty easy to do in this game.
Yep, although I don't
no
think...
idea.
This is not as complex as other 2D fighters. I feel like your options are limited, partially because you have such little health. And, I don't know, it's not nearly as tight as a lot of what I'm used to a 2D fighter being.
Yeah, it did feel a little loose. I wonder if that's just because we didn't play it enough.
You take too
much
damage, things are a little bit screwy in the hitboxes, it felt like.
Yeah, the hitboxes also felt really large.
I don't know, it felt too, not. I don't know what you guys mean by loose and tight on that kind of thing. It just felt iffy, I guess would be the best way for me to...
I think we would call that loose.
Weird.
Well, that's, the controls don't seem as responsive as they could be, and like you don't move as fast as you think you ought to. I don't know. It feels like there are lots of wasted frames of animation, almost.
But, Zach, you have been adamant in the past that you think 3D games, or not 3D games, but 3D fighters specifically, are better than 2D fighters. So do you want to defend that position?
Well, they're better than this 2D fighter. I will give you that.
Well, it depends. I'm sure we could find some 3D fighters worse than this.
3D fighters especially the ones that I've played, I feel, are just better than 2D fighters. The additional plane adds another level of counter play to somebody. I mean, you can step to one side and dodge somebody's, you know, low kick if it's just one of those like stab kicks instead of the roundhouse type of thing. In just different ways. Like, I mean, Nightmare in / Siegfried in like Soul Calibur specifically. But like Nightmare and Siegfried have that stab move,
much better,
which doesn't make any difference if you're on a 2D plane because you're either have to block it or jump out of the way. Whereas in something like Soul Calibur or Dead or Alive, you step to one side and you get out of the way. It adds just another level of depth and interest.
It actually adds depth, specifically.
Yes. And it adds a level of entertainment value, in my opinion, because it adds that additional level of play to it and positioning to it. Whereas this one, all 2D fighters in general are... I'm going to walk at you and hope to be the one that walked to the other side of the screen by the end of this.
Positioning in a 2D fighter is incredibly important, though,
I feel
because
like
you don't have that layer of depth to dodge to the side with. It's arguably more important. There are fewer things you can do, and so you have to choose more precisely where you're going to be.
I feel like it's roughly equivalently important. I mean, I think a good 3D fighter will give you the option to sidestep an attack, but you have to know that that's the attack that you can sidestep. I do feel that positioning is as important in a 2D fighter as it is in a 3D fighter. My problem with 3D fighters in general, actually, is that there's too much going on. I feel like they're too button-mashy. I feel like you can button-mash more effectively. KD can win games of Soul Calibur against me.
Part of that is specifically Soul Calibur, if you play, say,
okay,
Maxi, and you're like, wah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Tyler, I've beaten you in Soul Calibur on Siegfried. You can't button-mash that champion.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can. No, there you go.
The champion. You can't really button mash Siegfried because he's so slow.
I feel like Siegfried would actually be at home in League, but...
He probably would. He actually, now that I think about it, it kind of reminds me of Garen.
I feel like Nightmare would be actually be more appropriate. He has a little more going on. Siegfried's a little vanilla.
Well, yeah. I could see him being like Garen. I feel I'm going to run at you and...
League already has Garen, though.
I know.
Spin to win! I could see a Siegfried skin for Garen.
Raphael's ward Amy would also be a
good
character, I think, because she's a vampire duelist.
With a hula hoop.
No, that's Tira.
That's Tira.
Oh, you're right. I always conflate the two. Tira is obsessed with Nightmare.
But
she is.
If you look at some of the other 2D fighters, those are feel much more button mashy to me because...
Maybe that's just because you don't know any of the moves and you do know the moves of 3D fighters.
3D fighters typically don't have a lot of the same kind of move inputs in them.
Yeah, that is true. 3D fighters don't do the like awkward move the control stick around thing.
Some of them do. Like a lot of the throws in Dead or Alive are kind of obnoxious to pull off, but for the most part, they don't have the... I'm going to charge up my Hadouken and shoot it at you.
And Soul Calibur does have that on a few characters, but not everyone. That is a difference in genre convention, though. But I feel like in both fighting games, the more you learn about them, the more you learn why button mashing is terrible.
Yeah.
And both of them are about how much do you play, how deep do you go. Good fighting games are all about depth and learning, oh, hey, there are actually these special moves that do something different. Oh, hey, there are blocks and throws. Oh, hey, there for 3 seconds after you do this move, you can't be hurt. And going deeper and deeper.
That's, oh man, I'm gonna have to post it. Counter! Oh, that one thing from Third Strike where the guy just parries every single one of...
That video is so good!
I've seen that, and that's amazing.
But I think that's something that makes 2D fighters awesome, is the... I mean, it's not just 2D fighters. Specifically, that Street Fighter game is awesome because that you can do that.
But in Soul Calibur, you have the counters, or I guess, I think they're called parries, actually.
Yeah, Soul Calibur.
And you can parry into parry.
You remember, we did that.
Similar.
Yeah, the thing is, parrying your opponent's move doesn't really leave them open, because they can just immediately parry your next move.
Well, like Dead or Alive, as I said earlier, has counters. If you know what your opponent is doing, you can actually counter it and put some damage on
them. I feel like parries in Street Fighter accomplish the exact same thing, except you then have to press a button to hit them.
But it's not important for either of those mechanics that the game be 2 or 3D.
No,
it just happens to be 3D games have this counter mechanic, and this 2D fighter has this parry mechanic. I really do think that they're just, like 2D versus 3D platformers, they're like cousins. You can kind of see the similarities when you squint. And yeah, they have the same hair color, but they're not really that closely related. Except for in theme of, I am going to perpetrate violence on you until your health bar
you know,
is
now that
out.
I think about it, there's only one franchise that has made the jump from 2D to 3D.
Street Fighter tried it, and the 3D Street Fighter was really, really
bad.
Did
it really? Which one? I think it was called
Street Fighter EX. It never came out on consoles because it was that bad.
That's like, you could throw a Hadouken in a 3D plane and...
The only one I've seen that actually did that kind of well was Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I actually think the 3D Mortal Kombats are better than the 2D Mortal Kombats.
Well, like, I know one point it was kind of wonky because one of the characters' special move put a line of frost, and if it hit you, it would freeze you. But since it was a line, there were times where they'd go off to the side, you know, trying to and it'd go right through your legs. So it's like, huh, that did a lot.
And Mortal Kombat went back to 2D, and people started paying attention again.
Did it really?
Yeah, the most recent Mortal Kombat is 2D.
Oh, the one that's just called Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I can't really think of a substantial difference between 3D and 2D fighters.
I mean, there is a lot, but I don't think there's... Like I said, it's probably actually less than 2D and 3D platformers. The thing mostly is that depth. I feel like I can take or leave that depth, but if you really wanted, it would make 3D ones better.
A lot more of them have, like... A lot of the 3D ones also include, like, more stage interaction type of things. Like, I know you can knock people downstairs and stuff in Dead or Alive.
Yeah, but Mortal Kombat started that.
You know,
you can have ring outs in...
The biggest difference in mechanics is the way you close distance between them. Because
that's
in 2D fighters, you usually have a forward dash or jump is usually the easiest way to close or expand distance. Whereas in 3D fighters, you generally
run.
Yeah, usually... Start pretty close, and if you don't start pretty close, you have some moves that close the distance, but the way you close distance is very different.
Instead of having the frogs on either side jumping at each other.
And that's just how I play Street Fighter, and all the, like, super good guys who play Street Fighter don't do that. I think that's just me sucking at the game.
To a degree, yes. I feel like all fighting games, one of the things they really have in common is when you suck at the game, you fall into these strange habits. That a medium player goes, man, you're terrible. Look at this. And an expert player looks at that medium player and sort of says the same thing. Like I said, it's about depth and discovery.
There are definitely tiers, though. Like, there aren't really... there isn't really an intermediate. Like, there's horrible, there's okay, which I guess might be the intermediate, and then there's, my god, how are you so good at this game? I don't even feel that outclassed playing with you in shooters. Like, I don't understand how people are so good at this.
Alright, I was gonna say that pretty much exists in every game.
Yeah, I think it is a little more, it does, well, any good game. I feel like there are plenty of games where the skill cap is low enough that, like, for example, Mario Party is very random. There is a skill involved in it, but there is a level at which a novice can beat an expert at that game if everything lines up. And that's the intent of the game. But that's an aberration rather than most games, like you said, League of Legends sort of has that. But I feel like you can see it a lot more in a 2D fighter. You can definitely notice the difference in what a master does versus a novice. Whereas in a shooter, the difference is a lot more subtle. In League of Legends,
yeah, it's mostly
the difference
how you
is a little
move.
More subtle. In StarCraft, you're like, how does he have so many units? I think I'm doing the same thing because it's more subtle.
How did he just not lose anybody to that Widow Mine?
Yeah.
How did he lift everybody at the perfect moment?
You can see the result, but you can't really see the difference in what they do, I feel. And I think fighters are weird in that they're different that way.
I think it's mostly because they're just simpler than a lot of other games. Your range of overall strategy isn't, it's not very complex compared to, like, say, StarCraft.
It's also a lot more overt when they are doing something. I mean, you can see the result, as Jeremy, I believe, said.
It's a lot easier to measure.
When that guy does the parry on, like, what was it, like, it's like 8 or 9 consecutive attacks from somebody.
Yeah.
And he parries them all and wins.
We'll probably link
Whereas
that.
Whereas when you see somebody playing, like, a shooter or something, it's more macro level stuff where it's like, okay, if I'm here, that means it'll take me X amount of time to get to there.
Or just better reflexes in a lot of cases, too. That's, I mean, both are true.
Yeah, shooters are a lot of reflex.
And paying attention to your surroundings, which is something
that's why I always get you guys, because no one pays attention but me to the motion tracker.
Unfortunately, I feel like Street Fighter 2 doesn't have a lot of the depth that I feel other Street Fighter games have, or even any other fighting game of any other genre.
I think that's because it throws up a wall and doesn't tell you anything about it.
I wouldn't say that necessarily.
I feel like most fighting games actually do that. I think you're being a little facetious, but I like Dead or Alive's training mode a lot, but it's
that might
kind
be
of
wise,
unique.
Because that's the only one I really have played that I've truly enjoyed.
Newer 2D fighters do it now.
I just play training mode.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marvel vs. Capcom has it, or Marvel vs. Capcom 3 specifically.
And I think 3D
not in the same way.
It's very similar, in my opinion.
It basically says, here are all the moves you can do, now here are some combos that you can do with that character.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a little more, like, work exercise. It's a little more, here are some tires I'm going to throw on the ground, see how to get through them. A little more obstacle course, like, well, actually. It's a little bit, here's a thing, and when you realize, oh, I can do that thing, it changes your perception. Whereas Dead or Alive is, do this move, now do this move. It's a lot more basic, and it leaves you to fill in, what can I do with these?
I got past the fourth level in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 of, like, the training exercises, and suddenly they were like, punch, punch, cancel out of this into this. I'm like, I can't do that. My fingers don't move that fast. So I think I'm not the intended population for that.
I really like Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I sort of fell out of it. But anyway, let's talk a little more about Street Fighter 2. Favorite characters?
Sagat.
Sagat? Easily. Tiger, Uppercut, why?
The combination of low and high ranged attacks, in addition to a really powerful anti-air, makes him, and he has huge range with his regular attacks. I don't know. I feel like he's a little unbalanced, although he is a boss character originally, so.
Yeah, but by Super Turbo, they rebalanced everything to make them more fair for players.
I don't know. I feel like he has a longer range, and just the mind games you can play with low versus high, tiger, punch, fist, waves. Tiger!
I think mine's Ken, just because I'm boring and like Ryu, because like I said, my first fighting game, I saw a guy who did Dragon Ball Z blasts, and I said, I want some of that in my life. But Ken in Street Fighter is a little faster, a little weaker. He's a little more forgiving, and like we talked about earlier, this game is not very forgiving. So I like him. How about you, Zach?
Do you have a favorite character?
No.
Go on. You don't like Blanka and his sweet electrical powers, or M. Bison and his bleeding eyes and psychokinesis? I mean, you gotta say, the game has a lot going for it visually, even if it lacks mechanical strength. Like, entire comics have been written about these guys on basically no backstory, because they're just so visually well-crafted.
That is true. For an arcade machine in the early 90s, these would have stood out a lot. And they did, in fact. They got me to play them. So
I think the only one I have to go with is Ryu. Strictly because he's one of the mainstays I use in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
He shoots Dragon Ball Z blasts, and you can't not like that. Not if you were born in the late 80s, early 90s.
He doesn't synergize very well, though.
With other characters? I don't know, I feel like a quick Hadouken out of nowhere helps.
No, it's more like with the character Zack likes.
When you use, like, the three-tier special in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, he does not fit with those two guys, the other two guys I typically use.
Does he not? I feel like Super Hadouken fits
well
with
Bang. He
doesn't
Super Hadouken, though.
He does the kick. He does the vacuum kick.
Oh, you can choose which super you come in with.
Yeah, it depends.
Not on the special, not on that one.
Yeah, it's dependent on which move you do as your call-in move. But usually the call-in move is more valuable.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's how you could change that, but...
It definitely worked that way in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, so I'm assuming it does in 3, but I'm questioning it to myself right now, but I'm pretty sure it does.
You know the problem with this game and Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Huh.
There's no Gambit.
Yeah, well...
He should totally be in this game.
He's getting his own movie.
Oh, really?
Played by Tatum Channum.
I feel
Channing
like...
Tatum? I can't think of that guy's
Channing
name.
Channing Tatum?
I feel like Gambit is a much better support character than main character.
Yeah, so is Wolverine, and he's gotten solo books and solo movies for all his life.
He's also on every team in the Marvel Universe.
He's not on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yet.
Nah, yes. Tony Stark is, but he's not.
Team A shall consist of Rogue, Cyclops, and Wolverine. Team B shall consist of Phoenix, also Rogue, and hey, why not also Wolverine?
And Team E, why don't you guys go have adventures in Europe or something? With Wolverine.
Wolverine, did you find the Phoenix? Team. No, I just swam here from helping Team C in Europe. They're apparently going to kill Wolverine.
Again, or like actually, finally?
I don't know. Man, I don't even know why they're trying or why they'd bother. He was in hell for a while. That was okay.
He's the only Canadian.
Yeah, that's why Chris Claremont wouldn't kill him in the 70s when they told him to kill him because no one liked him. Instead, he dropped him through 80 floors of a building into a sewer, and Wolverine look up and say, okay, bub, you took your best shot. My turn. And had an entire issue of Wolverine dieharding through an apartment complex, thus cementing him as the best character ever.
Okay, that does sound pretty awesome.
A lot of people say it's where modern comics started.
I know there was a storyline where Thor and Captain America were fighting legions in hell together to get back, like, their girlfriend. Or their
that was
mutual...
the Ultimates 3. It's not a very good comic, and it's not canon.
That's sad. But that's such an awesome thing. That's
it's
such
not
a comic
bad.
Book thing.
Was the Doom Marine with them?
No. No, this was actual hell. It was supposed to be hell on Mars.
Where do you think hell is? That's why Mars is red.
No, Pluto is hell.
No.
Yeah.
That's what they want you to think.
Have you ever read Greek myth? Don't you know anything about mythology?
I do know things about mythology.
Also, the Greeks didn't know about Pluto the planet.
No, no. In fact, it was Hades in Greek and, yeah.
Yeah. Relevant to the new Dresden book.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
They finally add that mythology.
You know, like they add anything. Well, but that's not really a spoiler. It comes up very early.
I'm going right by Barnes & Noble on my way home
tomorrow. And so they already did, I feel like they already did Norse, because isn't Thor like the head of a contracting company? Odin, the head of
he's
a contracting
company. He's
also
Santa.
Monarch.
Oh, also he's Santa. I forgot about that.
he's the head of Monarch Securities.
Although Odin is actually, or Santa is actually based on an old myth about Odin, so.
It makes sense, and that's why they went with it.
The podcast about archaeology and anthropology.
The podcast that recommends the Dresden Files skin game, but not necessarily Street Fighter 2. Anything else you want to say on Street Fighter 2? I was a little disappointed with it. Street Fighter 3 is still good. Street Fighter 4 is still a lot of fun. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is still better than any of those.
Yeah,
but
Alpha.
Street Fighter 2, it's probably worth a look back on if you really, really like fighter games. There's a reason it spawns so many, I think, but I was not terribly impressed.
I think all of it.
I'd rather play Dead or Alive 5.
I think all of it. I would honestly argue that 3D fighters were a descendant of this game.
Well, yeah,
so,
I think so.
I would argue that yes.
I think all the descendants of Street Fighter. Well, okay, maybe not all. The original.
Not Mortal Kombat. I would rather play this than Mortal Kombat.
And the original Fatal Fury, not very good.
Yeah,
but
I don't remember that.
Mortal Kombat and this game were the ones that started it.
So my final thoughts on Street Fighter 2 are Samurai Showdown is an excellent game.
What?
So
with that, Zach, what are we playing next week?
We're going to play a game that resided mainly in arcades for a long time.
Street Fighter 2?
No, but we're going to go to the cabinet next to it that had the awesome chair. One of the awesome chairs.
Cruising
play...
USA?
Oh, man, that doesn't make three straight in a row. We just played Cruise and last time you chose a game. Are you sure you want to risk this?
Yes.
I'm okay. Almost positive this game's better.
We're going to play Hydro Thunder.
It was a Dreamcast launch title.
Really?
I forgot the Dreamcast was a thing.
Everyone did. That's why it doesn't
exist.
It had
a really impressive launch library. Like, people were comparing launch libraries because the Xbox One and PS4 just came out, and everyone was saying the N64 had the best. But then people were looking at the Dreamcast one, and it made a pretty good argument for itself.
Well, the Dreamcast was a weird console because it had, like, it had internet capability. Was it the Dreamcast that had internet capability?
Yes, it shipped with the ability to connect to your phone line and connect to other players via the internet.
So it had, you know, the internet, good launch library, the controller was really kind of cool looking. But it's like, yeah, falls out of the gate and nothing happens with it and everybody forgets it existed.
Anyway, next time on Last Time,
Hydro Thunder.
I even have any puns.
Thunder!
About this.
Thunder!
Thunder! Boats ho!
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over. I can use editing to make that better. Will I?
No.
Tune in this podcast to find out. Tune in 20 seconds ago to find out.